Morning. If you want to have your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going to start today. Just want to start off by just kind of addressing like, oh, there we go. I want to start off by kind of just saying how amazing it's been to be here. I've gotten to meet a lot of people who are very different from me, similar to me, and it's cool to see like how everyone's characteristics are different and the same and how we're compatible and how we're different. I've enjoyed finding out more about who people are back at school, here. It's been awesome. But when I think about characteristics and character traits, it makes me kind of turn and start to think about God. Like, who really is God? Like, what is the character of God? Like, we get that he died for our sins. We get that he's coming back. We get that he's reigning on high. But what is God actually like? Because we can't really be like Christ. We can't live Christ-like lives if we don't actually know who he is and his true character. It's great to be with you, and I'm so glad that I can speak with you again. My grandpa once told me this. He said, if you want people to grow and you want to encourage them in their walk with God, the key is to tell them about God's character. If you're taking notes today, our sermon title is going to be, He Is, So I Will. He is, so I will, because I believe that God's character leads to a response. God's character leads to a response. Would you pray with me? Father, it's so good to be with you. It's so good to learn more about you. I ask today that your words speak through me, and you touch the hearts of people in this room. Change my life, change our life. Gives us soft hearts that are willing to listen to you. We need you, and we love you. And in your son's name, amen. Did you know that God's name is not God? You see, the term God, that's a title. You know, President of the USA, that's a title, but that's not actually what our president's name is. God is a title, but our God has a name. You might be thinking, Josiah, I thought we were talking about God's character here. But I really do believe that understanding God's name is going to lead to his character. So if you read with me, I hope you'll be able to realize that. Okay, so in Exodus chapter 3, we kind of just read it, but Moses is tending to his father-in-law's sheep, right? He's tending to them, and he goes to this mountain, and he has this crazy interaction with God with like a bunch of miracles, and God commissions Moses, and he says, I want you to go and be the leader of my people. I want you to deliver Israel out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. Really big commission, really heavy calling from God. Read with me, Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Here Moses is going to ask some questions. He's like, okay, you've called me to do this, but I've got a couple questions. I'm a little confused. Let's start. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So here Moses has these two questions. Question number one is, who am I? Right? If God called you to lead thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people out of the land of slavery, that would be intimidating, right? So he's like, who am I? I'm not worthy to be able to lead your people in the way that you've called me. And God says, no, Moses, you're going to be fine because I am going to be with you. And you're going to come back to this mountain and you're going to worship me on it. That's really cool. So question number one, I'm not worthy. That makes sense. Now, the second question, I think, is kind of an interesting question. His second biggest question to God, the second most important question to God behind I'm not worthy, is when I go to the people, what do I tell them your name is? He says, when I go to the people and I tell them the God of your fathers is here and that he is going to deliver you, they're going to ask me what your name is. It's interesting. You see, from the beginning of the Old Testament, from the beginning of Genesis 1 all the way up until Exodus chapter 3, people have been calling, God's people have been calling our God the God of your fathers. Read with me. I'm just going to list off a couple of verses. Genesis 26, 24. I am the God of Abraham, your father. Genesis 28, 13. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Genesis 31, 5. But the God of my father has been with you. Genesis 31, 42. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham. Genesis 32, 9. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. Genesis 46, 3. I am God, the God of your father. So this is what the Israelites have been calling God for so long, the God of your father. But think about that statement. Basically, in other words, it's like, hey, I'm your dad's God. Hey, I'm your great-grandpa's God. I'm the God that your grandparents worshipped. I'm the God that your fathers worshipped. And now I'm the God that you worship. That's not a very personal name. So Moses is going to say, hey, when I go to the people and I say, hey, your dad's God is here to save you, they're going to be like, what is his actual name? We don't want to call him by the God our grandparents worshipped anymore. We want to call him by his actual name. So what is his name? His question, what is his name, I think goes a little bit deeper than just that. If you want to turn over to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. This is the only other time in the Old Testament that this phrase, what is his name, is used. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. And this is really powerful. Proverbs 34 reads, who has ascended into heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? You see, here the writer of this proverb is explaining. He's like, who has done all of these things? Who has all of these amazing characteristics? What is his name? He's able to go up to heaven. He's able to come down. He's able to wrap up the waters. He's able to gather the winds. What is his name? And if we look at that term a little bit more, it could be more mean, what makes your name significant? See, when Moses asks this question to God, he isn't just asking for God's name. He's asking, what makes you, you? The people want to know who you are, who you really are. And so here we get this description of all these characteristics, which are great. But in Exodus chapter 3, we get his actual name. So I'm going to read Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 reads this. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all the generations. You see, this is big. Moses says, what is your name? And he says, I am who I am. But then he says, call me the Lord from generation to generation. So he answers Moses' question. He says, my name is I am who I am. And then he tells Moses, he says, call me the Lord. Now, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but every time you see Lord in all caps, it's actually the replacement for the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is God's name. So he says, my name is I am. And he says, call me Yahweh. So wait, does God have two different names here? Is he saying I am is my one of my names, and then Yahweh is the other one? It's actually not what he's saying here. Because I am, we get that. That's an English phrase, English term. But Yahweh is still in Hebrew. So what does Yahweh translate to if you move it over from Hebrew to English? If you move it over from Hebrew to English, Yahweh translates as He is. So that's cool. So God responds to Moses and he says, my name is I am. But then he asks us to call him He is. It's the same name, but when we call God by his name, we say Yahweh or He is. But when God calls says his name, he says, I am. But why does it matter? Why is it so important to know God's name? You see, names in the Old Testament, they carried a whole lot of weight. It was like your autobiography in one word. It was like your character defined. You know, when Jacob wrestles with God and his name gets changed to Israel, God is literally changing the identity of Jacob. So he is, or Yahweh. It's the same meaning, right? But why is that meaningful? See, I think that's a little confusing, the idea of he is. But when we really think about it, what it's really meaning is that God's character is. He is. His character is unchanging. It's immovable. It's always the same. It's bottom line. It's perfect. Always. What he is, he has been. And what he is, he will be. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And so now let's fast forward, turn over to Exodus chapter 33. And so in Exodus chapter 33, Moses is going to be on the top of Mount Sinai. And Moses and Yahweh, they're going to have this conversation. And in it, Moses is going to make this request to Yahweh. Exodus chapter 33, we're going to start in verse 18. Exodus 33:18 reads, Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, this is God's response, I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name, Yahweh, or the Lord. So Moses asks to see God's glory. He says, show me your glory. And God agrees and he says, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you and proclaim to you my name. I think that's, when I think about that, that's kind of a weird way to show who God is. But at the same time, it kind of does make sense. You know, how are you supposed to really know someone if you don't actually know their name? See, we have deep connections to names, right? If I were to say the name of Shane Scott, I'm sure it would bring a lot of fond memories back to your guys' minds. Because we have deep connections to people's names. And so God says, when my glory passes before you, I will proclaim to you my name, which is Yahweh. His glory, his goodness, his name, it's all part of who he is. It's all part of his character. And our God is going to reveal his character in the next chapter. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 6. Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, the Lord, he is. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So when God's glory passes before Moses, God, Yahweh, reveals himself to Moses and to us today. He reveals who he is. He is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in steadfast love. He is faithful, and that won't change because we serve Yahweh. And he is what he says he is. You can count on him, and you can count on his character showing up every single time. When God says his mercies are new every morning, he means that his mercies are new every morning. When God looks at you and says you are forgiven, he means that you are forgiven. When God says his grace is sufficient, he means his grace is sufficient. And I just think that's amazing that his character is so consistent. Why? Because you won't find that in any other person ever. You see, people change. People are not consistent. Have you ever thought you knew someone like really, really well, but it turns out they actually weren't the person that you thought they were? Have you ever been let down by a friend? You see, it turns out that your friends actually aren't that close to you. It turns out that your coworker was actually just looking out for themselves. It turns out that your family actually just let you down. It turns out your boyfriend actually doesn't care about you that much. It turns out that your hamster is just in it for the food. So on. You get the point. But however, Yahweh's consistent, his perfect, and his unchanging character, that's powerful. And it's powerful to Moses. And Moses is so moved by God's character that he does something about it. He saw God for who he is, and he had to do something about it. He responded in three ways, and I want to look at those three ways. See if we can make some personal application to that in our life. So we have response number one. Moses responded to God's character through worship. Response number one is worship. If you want to read in verse 8, Exodus 34, verse 8, God explains all of his character. He lets his glory pass before Moses, proclaims his name. And when Moses is so overwhelmed by all of the goodness and all of the character of God, verse 8, and Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Moses recognized Yahweh's character. He was so moved. It was so good. It was so perfect. It was so glorious. Every trait about Yahweh was what Moses needed in a savior, and so he worshiped. And I believe in the same way that when we recognize more about God's character, we should turn and we should worship. When we see that God is a God who extends grace, worship. When God is patient, stop and worship. When God sends blessings our way, stop and worship. When God helps us grow, stop and worship. Because God is a God whose character deserves worship. Response number two, Moses responds with action. You see, God and Moses are on the mountain after this, and God continues talking to Moses. And in this conversation, let's look at what Yahweh says in Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. And Yahweh said to Moses, write these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And look what Moses does, verse 28. So he was there with the Lord, with Yahweh, 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. You see, when God speaks, when God reveals his character, Moses doesn't just worship. He goes and he writes down the commandments down so that he can lead the people of Yahweh in obedience. Yahweh was the God who cared enough about his people to protect them. So Moses knew God's character, he heard God's commandments, and he wrote them down and lived them out. You see, how much harder is it to follow someone that you don't know anything about? How much harder is it to follow someone when you don't even know their name? It's the same with us. You see, the more we know about God, the more we will want to write down his commandments. Maybe not on tablets of stone, but definitely on our hearts. Because God isn't a God who just tells us to do things because he wants to make us obey. When we realize God's character, we realize that Yahweh is a God who wants us to follow him because he wants us to be safe and he wants us to be successful and he wants to bless us. Response number two was action. And then finally, response number three, maybe one of the most important, relationship. Moses responds to God's character through relationship. Read with me verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. You see, Moses' face wasn't shining because God did something magical to him on the mountain, because God decided that he wanted to do that. Moses' face was shining because he had been talking with God. You see, he had been drawing close to the most glorious thing possible, that Yahweh's glory was literally rubbing off on him. He had been in Yahweh's presence so often and so consistently that nothing could stop him from shining the way that our God shines. When Moses encountered God's character, he could not help but be drawn closer to him. He could not help but stay in the presence of our God. It might be the biggest thing about God revealing his name and God revealing his character is that he wants relationship. When we see God for who he is, when we see God's true character, not some warped image of what we've previously made him out to be, we will want to grow closer to him. I want to make a side note on this. If you read further, and I encourage you to read the rest of Exodus chapter 34, but Moses has come down from the mountain and the people notice and they are like, your face is too bright, I need you to cover it. But I think the cool thing about that is that because Moses had been spending so much time with God, people noticed. People noticed. It makes me think, do people notice that I have been spending time with God? Is Yahweh the God that I want to worship every single day, or is Yahweh the God that I just come on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights just to get it over with? Because when Moses was moved by God's character, people noticed. And when you see God's character, and when you are in a relationship with God, when I am in a relationship with God, do people notice? God's character had invited Moses into much deeper relationship. And what's awesome about that is that his character is the exact same today. That same God, Yahweh, wants to invite you into deeper relationship. When Moses encountered God, he responded. But not only was Moses the only person to encounter God in the Bible, so many other Bible characters did too. Paul encounters Yahweh, and it leads to the conversion of thousands of Christians. The woman at the well, she encounters Yahweh and it leads to a transformed life. The slave nation of Israel encounters Yahweh and it leads to their freedom. When you and I encounter Yahweh, how do we respond? See, if we want to change our lives, if we want to grow, if we want deeper relationships, if we want true satisfaction, the key isn't just to try harder and to do better. The key is our God. The more that we discover who he is, the more our hearts will be stirred to respond. And as we grow in knowing Yahweh's character, we'll begin to live in ways that we never even thought we could. And that is what we want the rest of our lives to be about. He is loving, and so I will serve. He is my king, and so I will love. He is running after me, and so I will run into his arms. He died for me, so I will live for him. He is, so I will. And just as we've seen today, God calls us not only to understand his truth, but he calls us to respond to it. When you see God's character, you are invited to respond. So if you've never given your life to Christ and you want to do that in baptism today, that's a crucial step of faith. You see, choosing to trust him fully and begin a new life in him is so important. And we'd love to help walk with you if you want to take that step. Or maybe you've already made that commitment. Maybe you've already been baptized. Maybe you already are a Christian, but you've been struggling. And you want to dive deeper into your relationship with God. And you have realized more about the character of God, and there's things that you want to change, or there's things that you need help with. If there's any way that any of us can help you today, please come forward as we stand and sing.